Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Here we go. As promised, it is time to talk some Sooner women's basketball as their season is now underway, and it looks once again to be a promising year of high expectations as the Sooner women were picked by the league's coaches to finish fourth in the Big 12 Conference and nationally in the preseason poll, 15th. It is always a true pleasure to welcome in Oklahoma's head women's basketball coach, the great Sherry Cole. How are you, Coach?
Hey, E, I'm good. Thank you so much.
Well, it's always fantastic to get to visit with you. I look forward to our conversations. And let's back up just a moment. Of course, on Wednesday night, you guys were in action. You had an impressive 34-point win over UCO. What did you take away from that game? And obviously, you've had a chance perhaps to look at even the game tape.
Yes, I have had a chance to look at the game tape. And when you step back and look at it, we have some obvious areas where we have to improve, but that's exactly why you play exhibition games, so that you can get your young guys out there, get their feet under them, get them accustomed to playing in front of a big crowd. We have four freshmen. They were very, very nervous, and it showed throughout the game. But at the same time, we played a very, very good Division II team that's going to win a lot of games, probably their league, probably go into at least the Sweet 16 in their tournament. They're a very good basketball team. They competed hard and they exposed some things, and we won by 34, playing everybody and getting significant minutes for our young guys. So there's a lot to learn from it, but also a lot of good to take away.
And certainly one of the positives that I take away is you had five players that scored in double digits. You were led by one of the young ones, a sophomore, Erin Ellenberg. And what a stat line that she did provide for you, 20 points, 6 assists, and 3 steals. That is a tremendous all-around effort, Sherry.
Well, Vegas is going to have to play much older than a sophomore for us. She got extensive experience as a freshman last year, averaged 16 a game, shot 40% from behind the arc, and I think made three of her first four three-point attempts last night. Shot the ball extremely well in the first half, cooled off a little bit in the second half, but did a lot of really, really good things for us, and we're going to need and we will be asking for more leadership from her as we are a very, very young team. But I love the fact that we had five guys in double figures. I love the fact that we had 22 assists. We were really sharing the basketball. We shot the ball extremely well from three-point line, really from the field, too. We were almost 50% from both of those, and so very, very good shooting performance for a first time out. Way too many turnovers. They seem to come in bunches. That stuff is sometimes kind of contagious, like the bad old flu. A couple people do it, and then everybody thinks they got to get involved for a little bit. And
right.
Then we would steady the ship for a while, and here they would come again. So you take those turnovers out of the game last night, and really, really good guard play.
And you bring up a great point. You shot almost 50% from the three-point line. And the fact that you had five players that hit at least one three-point shot offensively, like I'm talking about, I mean, it looks like you guys have a lot of depth from the perimeter position.
Well, we do have a lot of guys that can score and a lot of guys that can shoot it really well. I think what we do best at this particular point in time is pass ahead in transition and find guys, find shooters in transition. I thought we were really good at that. Didn't think UCO was bad at their defensive transition in trying to prevent that. I just thought we were really, really good at moving the basketball and skipping it and passing ahead, and that's where a lot of those threes came from. So, you know, the fact that you can put five different shooters on the floor where teams can't key on one particular kid, I think is a huge advantage.
What was the message in postgame? You talked about, you just mentioned the 26 turnovers. Obviously, you want to get that down much more. What did you share with them?
The main thing that I wanted to impart to them was that as you're learning and you get frustrated and you make a mistake or you aren't sure what to do on a particular play or possession, the worst thing you can do is stop. We had so many breakdowns because literally we would have a player just stop. Whether it was, I don't know who I'm guarding, so I'm going to stand here for a minute and try to figure it out, or I don't really know where to go right now offensively, so I'm just going to stand here. That happened a number of times, and as a result, it's a turnover, it's a layup for the other team, it's an offensive rebound for the other team. We had several freshmen on the floor for extended periods. In the second half, we went for about an 8-minute period with four true freshmen on the floor, and it was a little bit like elementary school recess. So we have to work on that for sure. But the main message I wanted to impart to them was that you just keep playing. You just play so hard that those mistakes don't stand out as much, and eventually you make something good happen. We have to play through those talked about the passion that is necessary to overcome any anxiety or any nerves that you have, and how you have to decide which one of those voices in your head you want to feed and get comfortable. And that was the main thing last night. We had lots of possessions where we were very uncomfortable. And that comes with being really young and not having been on the floor yet. So all that other stuff, there were three main areas, E, in terms of the basketball technical side, defensive blockout, turnovers, and defensive transition. Those three big areas we have to see a lot of improvement in over the next 5 to 7 days.
How was the defense on the interior, the post D?
You know, actually, it wasn't bad at all. We had a size advantage. We blocked quite a few shots and did a pretty good job of preventing passes to the paint and dribble penetrations to the paint, which is truly what we're working on. We're going to have to be able to do that against the great size and the great athleticism that exists in the Big 12 Conference. So I thought in that regard, we did some really, really good things. We didn't foul a lot. We were much more disciplined in our position defense. We just did not hack them. We made them take contested jump shots, and that was our game plan. So that part of it, when we got back in defensive transition and got matched up, we actually guarded quite well in the half court, and I was pleased with that.
You talk about the great size and athleticism within the Big 12 Conference. One of the things as I look up and down your roster that I love so much is just the height on this team. This is perhaps, if not, the biggest team that you've ever had. I mean, you got a gal that's 6'6", and I'm curious, talk to me post-play-wise, how do they do running the floor?
Well, Nicole Griffin can run. She does a great job of really getting out. She does not do it consistently. And I think the biggest thing with it's more of a struggle for Yale. She does okay, but it's more of a struggle for her. KK can really run. She's just a freshman, but she's really going to be able to run. The thing for all of them is to be able to play full tilt for longer. That was the problem last night. We couldn't get anybody to go for more than three or four possessions, really, really competing and running the floor at the highest level, and we've got to improve on that. Again, you know, it's early, and you have to play your way into game shape, but with those bigs, that's going to be, you know, I'm glad we have several because we may have to rotate them on a regular basis just to make sure we get that high intensity at all times.
Nicole Griffin, a post player, 6'6", and she is out of the state of Wisconsin. What did you challenge her with in the offseason to improve her game? I mean, she could be a huge asset for you, Sherry.
Aggression.
Okay.
Nicole acquiesces a lot. She catches it and kicks it back out without her post defender ever having to guard anything hard. And we have just really challenged her to attack the basket and to force teams to utilize more than one defender to stop her, to not let guys off the hook, especially when you have a height advantage, which she will quite often in pre-conference, not as often in conference, but she will early. And I'm hoping to be able to establish a sense of confidence in terms of going to the basket and scoring with her here early.
You talk about aggression, but do you also have you encourage her to spend a lot of time in the weight room? She's only 174, so trying to bulk up perhaps?
You know what? She is not a kid that is ever going to be big and bulky. She's just not. She has tiny shoulders. She has a small frame. She's long and lean, and she can get stronger, though it's not going to necessarily be visible strength to a great degree. She's just a long, skinny kid, and she's not ever going to be real big. That being said, it does work on trying to put on weight, and was very conscientious with her diet over the summer, and she did put on, I think, 11 pounds, which is it helps. But she's not ever going to be one of those where you look out and go, you know, wow, she's strong. She's just too long. Her legs are all too long.
We are hooping it up with Sherry Cole, the great Sherry Cole, Oklahoma's head women's basketball coach. And I have to say, Sherry, it is hard to believe you're entering into your 16th season. Time certainly flies. And when we dial in and look at this year, the biggest question mark and challenge has really been what the replacement of your standout point guard in Danielle Robinson. Who is filling those shoes?
It's kind of by committee right now, and that is a huge void to fill. And it's because it's in a myriad of ways. First, having somebody that can create separation with the dribble is worth its weight in gold. That's how you run stuff in the half court. That's how you alleviate pressure. And we're still working on that through Morgan Hook, our sophomore, and Deshaun Harden, our freshman. Both of those guys will spend a lot of time playing the point position for us, and they're developing in that regard. But I think the biggest – Morgan had a great stat line, by the way. She passed ahead. She scored in double figures. She had five or six rebounds. She had a really, really nice stat line and did a great job of pushing us in transition, I thought. So our transition looks a little different. Without Danielle, it was primarily off the dribble with Dee, and with Mo, it'll be more of a pass ahead. But it was effective nonetheless. So many of our threes came out of transition because of her push. But where we really, really miss Danielle Robinson is her presence. It's her swagger. It's her voice, her enthusiasm. She was the kid that was always bouncing around the locker room, getting everybody going. Hers was the voice in every free throw huddle. Hers was the encouraging, kicking the behind to a teammate when they needed to get going. She was all those things. She was the consummate leader. And I think a lot of our guys knew that, but they didn't really know that until they got on the floor and didn't have her there. And suddenly last night it was like, okay, this is different. Now we all have to give a little bit more in a little different ways to make up for that void left by Danielle. And that's how you know when you're a great player. When you're not there anymore, there's a huge void left because of the absence of your presence. And that's going to be the toughest thing to replace. We'll get somebody who can score it and can break down defensive pressure and get us in our offense. We'll be able to develop all that. And the tough part is replacing the person, the presence on the floor.
So, Sherry, how do you not overwhelm like a freshman and a sophomore? I look at, you know, you said that Morgan Hook had a great stat line. In fact, she only had one turnover, but there is so much, and you understand this, you're a former point guard, so much to learn and digest from that particular position, you know, controlling tempo, being that floor general, the communicator, you know, getting court balance. How are you taking it, just one thing at a time with these guys?
Yeah, that's a great point, Ian. I have a little list on my desk that I look at every single day of about seven things that I need to make sure and instill in that point guard, and it's all intangible. It's about having a sense of confidence and catching them doing something right and putting them in situations where they can be successful and simplifying the game. I think those are ways that you minimize the load that is on a point guard because there is so much to be responsible for. And yet you can't be responsible for any of the action that's going on the floor if you don't have a sense of comfort yourself. And so finding ways to put those young guys in positions where they can be successful is critical. And then rewarding those positive behaviors and talking about the things that they did well before you talk about the things they need to work on, making sure you balance that. But I think one of the key things is not giving them too many decisions to make.
Okay.
Just keeping it real simple on offense. Enter here and run a hard basket cut, and when it comes back to you, let's just play basketball. Two or three entries. We don't have much in terms of offensive sets or structure right now. We're just learning how to play and trying to take it just bite-sized morsel by bite-sized morsel.
Sherry Cole is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website where you can listen to this on our podcast page at eradiosports.com. And, of course, our home base is right here in Fort Worth, Texas, and everybody wants to hear about Whitney Hand. She certainly has had, throughout the years, had to deal with her share of injuries, but I love her versatility. I mean, she's 6'1", and as you said, Sherry, she can shoot, she can score, she's your offensive rebounder, and perhaps your best post feeder. What do you have to say about this young lady?
Well, I just talked about Danielle Robinson's presence and of all Whitney's gifts, that is her greatest. She makes people around her better. We do point differentials with our kids, and regardless of Whitney's stat line, if you go back and you look at what was the score while Whitney was on the floor, 9 times out of 10, when she's on the floor, good things are happening. Our point total is higher. She just makes people around her better. And that's a disposition thing, that's a confidence thing, and of course it is, to a certain extent, a skill thing as well, because when you know how to move on the floor based on a teammate's penetration, you know how to space off of a feed to a post, you instinctually attack the rim for an offensive rebound, all those things make the people around you relax and feel more comfortable with what they do because you're doing your job. So it's a dual thing with her, but Witt is a leader. She's a leader that's grown tremendously because of the adversity that she's faced throughout her career here. It's not been easy for her at all. As a freshman, we forget she broke her finger and missed 4 or 5 games late in the season, came back and led us to the Final Four through the NCAA tournament. And then, of course, her sophomore year, lost the whole season with the knee injury, and then last year played after 2 consecutive knee surgeries and really was never, I would say, any more than 50% ever last year. So this kid has faced a lot of physical adversity, and I think it's made her a better leader. It's made her a tougher player, and I think it's really developed the depth of her game.
And she always responds in a big way, as you're saying, you know, just such a resilient young woman. And I just think about, you know, throughout your coaching career, you have truly coached some of the best. We think of Stacey Dales, Courtney Paris, you're talking about Danielle Robinson. How much fun is it to coach a Whitney Hand?
Oh, wow. If everybody came to work every day like Whitney Hand, coaches would never retire. Would never stop. I mean, you could do this forever, because every single day you know what you're going to get. You're going to get the very best she has to offer, period. That doesn't mean that she makes every shot or that she always stays in front of the ball or gets every rebound, but it means you get her complete immersion in every possession while she's in the gym. And we could all coach that forever. So I think one of the things I've learned through the years is to appreciate every day. I know in Danielle Robinson's senior year, going into it, I knew exactly what I had, and I knew exactly what I wouldn't have when it was gone. And so every single day I really tried to cherish the way she attacked practice and her disposition and the way she governed the gym. I wanted to make sure I wrung every second of that dry. And I'm doing the same thing with Whitney's career. And now that she's in the gym again and feels good and is healthy and has that smile going and is talking and communicating on the floor, is herself, I find myself sometimes just watching her and appreciating the fact that she's back and healthy. And those are those things that you know when you have them, you got something special. I want to make sure that I appreciate it.
Just a few more moments this weekend with Sherry Cole on the Big East Sports Show. And let's look up and down your schedule. I am so jealous. You guys are going to be in Nashville, Tennessee on Thanksgiving at Vanderbilt. That's going to be so much fun.
I think so, too. You know, I'm the country music buff on our team.
All right.
I'm far more excited than many of my players are about it. But, yeah, I've never spent any extended time there. And I think it'll be a neat tournament, some very good competition, and a great time to be there.
Absolutely. And also, we look up and down your schedule. You guys have Connecticut again this season. So it's a good thing that Whitney Hand is 100% and she's feeling great.
We have a crazy schedule. You know, every year we play one of the toughest schedules in the country. It's typically top three, if not top three, top five. But I think this might be the toughest one we've seen in a long time. And it comes at a tough year because we are so young and because we've had a couple of injuries here early. So we're going to have to buck up and get good in a hurry. We've got Ohio State, we have TCU, we have New Mexico, we have Fresno State, all those before we get to conference play, and then we pause in conference play. And when you're playing Baylor and A&M and Iowa State and Texas, you pause and play Connecticut and then go right back to the Big 12 grind. So there is no rest for the weary. Our young guys are going to have to grow up quickly. But I like the fact that our pre-conference schedule is so challenging so that we don't have that shock that you can often have when you roll into conference play.
We do, Sherry, have a lot of Frog fans that listen to our show with us being in Fort Worth. Talk about the addition of TCU. I mean, that's got to be more competition, a lot of fun.
You know what? It makes sense. It's a piece of conference alignment that makes sense in a world of conference alignment that doesn't seem to sometimes make a lot of sense. They're an easy trip for most of us in this league. They're very competitive across the board in their sports. They're a high-quality academic institution. I think it's a perfect fit for our league, and it'll make us better.
Okay, I only got time for about two more quick questions. I have to bring up the fact a great addition to your staff that's going to support you guys, of course, is Pamela DaCosta. Bring her on home. That's got to be a lot of fun to be back with her again.
Yeah, it is. She was with us our first 2 years and helped lay the foundation for this program, and then went away for several head coaching stints and is back with us now. And it's really nice to have an assistant coach who's had head coach experience.
Sure.
They understand a lot about the pauses between the notes, if you will, of what it means to be a head coach. They know when to approach and how to approach and know what you need before you even ask for it. And that's been nice. Also, just her she just has a hunting dog mentality when it comes to recruiting. She is just a relentless recruiter. She's good at it. I think it's she's a great teacher on the floor and a very good motivator, but I think recruiting is her gift. She's great with people and is really, really working hard on the recruiting trail and has already made a significant difference in our recruiting.
Certainly a wonderful addition. And my final question for you as we get ready to close out our radio interview is just share a comment on someone that has meant so much to the great state of Oklahoma, losing the legendary Bob Berry Sr. with his unexpected passing. I certainly miss him dearly. Of course, I did my television internship with him, but just our thoughts and prayers are with the Berry family. But he was such a special man.
Absolutely. Bob, the first word that comes to mind when I think of him is jovial. I don't think I ever walked up to him when he didn't have a smile.
Yeah.
I can't recall ever having an interaction with him in which he did not laugh. And that may seem like a little thing, but I'll tell you what, he made your day better.
Yes.
When you had a conversation with him because of his approach, because of his outlook. And I think about the people of Oklahoma and how lucky we have all been to share that through the years, not only through his broadcasting of sporting events, but through the nightly news and the sports at Channel 4. Just he came into everybody's home and made everything a little bit better.
The legend sincerely will be missed. Jerry, thank you so much. Good luck with all the season. We hope to catch up again real soon.
Thank you, Eek.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment with Jason Peter.